I was just checking the announcements. It's great to see the snowbirds back with us. Hopefully your flight home was okay. That's wonderful. You know, as we journey through the season of Lent, we're called to reflect on our life and strive to grow in our relationship with God through prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. We are called to use these tools that have been given to us by the church, instructed by the Gospels, in order to further our relationship with God. Today we hear in these readings the call in Exodus by God to instruct us how to live our lives. Everyone wants to be happy in this world. Everyone is searching for happiness. And quite often the things that we try and search for or pursue, well, they don't actually bring us happiness. If you want to find happiness, we have a prescription today in the first reading. It's really quite simple. Love the Lord your God first. Don't put other gods before him. If you want to experience disappointment, put your trust in something other than God, and I will guarantee you it will disappoint you. Honor the Lord's name. You know, there's a story about a teacher, and they're talking about the Holy Family, and they're asking, the teacher's asking the students, you know, to tell them, you know, what they think about the Holy Family. And one little guy put up his hand and said, well, I really like Jesus. And Joseph seems like a great father. But Mary, I'm not too sure about. And the teacher said, why? Well, she named her son after a swear word. Exactly. So if we truly love God and we understand him to be the one who has created us and it sustains us in being, if we understand who Jesus Christ is and that he loved us to the point of being willing to shed his blood to reconcile us to God, and if we can come to the understanding of the love that Jesus Christ has for us, then the very least we can do is manifest our love for God by using his name in a dignified and respectful way in our life, so that others see what we truly believe. People hear what we truly believe. Giving the Lord the Sabbath day, using that day for rest and relaxation. Scripture says for recreation, for recreation, to be recreated more perfectly in the image of God. And I know that that's getting harder and harder to do, to take that day of Sabbath, to take that day of rest, and to give it to God, to family, and to strengthen and nurture those relationships that in honesty give us life. I know myself, I complain to the bishop that I have to work every Sunday. No sympathy at all from him. But it is a challenge for each and every one of us. And we're called to strive to give that time to family, to faith, so that we can nurture those relationships that do lead us to happiness and lead us to life, rather than the pursuit of things that really lead to disappointment. The last seven commandments are all about our relationship with each other. And if you want to truly find happiness, then you're going to strive to live at peace with each other. Because we know that disharmony brings misery and sadness and regret into our lives. It brings us down. You know, an honest person is happier than a dishonest person. It's as simple as that. A virtuous person is happier than someone who's not. It's just a fact. And so we have these commandments, you know, to honor your father and mother, to honor those that you're in relationship with, and to respect them and to love them and to desire the absolute best for them, to acknowledge the love that they have for you and the love you have for them, and to speak to them and of them in a way that manifests that relationship. You shall not murder. Murdering, of course, is much more than just killing someone physically. We kill someone's spirit. We kill their reputation. There's many ways in which we can kill someone, and all of which lessens our unity with others and lessens our true sense of happiness. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not use people for your own benefit, selfishly using them rather than truly loving someone. You shall not steal. To be a person of honesty and integrity in our dealings, in our work, in our relationships. Bearing false witness and speaking untruths about others. All these things lead to disharmony and discord. And if we want to find happiness, then we have the prescription right here. And it sounds so simple, and yet each and every one of us knows it's incredibly challenging to do. Because we don't only desire that which truly leads us to happiness, but we also desire that which we think will lead us to happiness that doesn't. And that's our disordered will. It's part of our fallen state. That we don't only desire those things that truly lead us to happiness, but we follow those things that we think will lead us to happiness and bring us misery and sin and discord and a lack of peace and a lack of ease in our lives. Today in the gospel, we see how things went so wrong in the temple. The temple which was the place to worship the one true God. The temple that was the place where people to go and offer their sacrifice. To offer the unblemished lamb in expiation for their sins. And here the people, in order to go and offer their sacrifice, they were being taken advantage of. And when we hear this, some people say, well, you know, it's okay for me to get angry because Jesus got angry. Well, let's look at what he was getting angry about. He was getting angry at the most incredible injustice. The poor people coming and the money changers and those who were selling the sacrifices, whether it was the doves, the lambs, the sheep, the cattle, they were weighing the scales and the people were paying much more than they should. They weren't receiving a fair exchange. And all they were doing is using this dynamic, a place that was supposed to be sacred, to make money. And they had totally distorted the purpose of the temple. And Jesus is filled with zeal. He's filled with compassion for the people who just want to go and worship their God and instead are stuck with this injustice. And so his anger comes from the injustice of humanity towards humanity. It's not some frivolous, I'm upset about something. And then we hear the teaching that he gives about his own resurrection, and no one fully understands it. And he won't entrust himself to the people because he knows how if they can distort the temple, we could distort just about anything. As we journey through this season of Lent, we're called to do what we can to strengthen our relationship with God and with each other. And as we reflect on the commandments, as we reflect on this passage of Jesus cleansing the temple, it's supposed to be more than just something that happened 2,000 and some years ago. Because you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And it's an instruction for each and every one of us to cleanse the temple. To cleanse our temple of the things that are not of God. To cleanse ourselves of those things that maybe we have followed, which we thought would bring us happiness, but we know did not bring us happiness. To go to confession and to be freed of the burden. The sacrifice that was being offered in the temple was for the expiation of sin. Well, we have the one true Lamb of God that is offered up. And in the sacrament of reconciliation, everyone gets to hear Jesus Christ speaking through the words of the priest. Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. I absolve you of your sins. The one true sacrificial lamb who has reconciled all of us to God takes our sins again upon himself and frees us so that we can take and start anew. We start anew, freed from the burden of sin and allowed to go and live our lives again, representing more perfectly the image of the resurrected Christ in our world. today as we celebrate this Eucharist. Let us have the courage to reflect on our lives in relationship to what truly will bring us happiness, to reflect on the Ten Commandments and to reflect on those things that we have embraced that ultimately didn't bring us happiness. The courage to strive to cleanse the temple that we are, the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the grace and the humility to invite God into our lives so that He can show us His mercy, His love, His compassion, so that we can experience the forgiveness of our sins. This Wednesday night, I noticed the announcements here. It says, on Wednesday night after Mass, the Robert Barron series. And I don't know if it's happening or not this Wednesday night. I'll have to talk to Deacon Tom. But there is no Mass on Wednesday night because Wednesday night is the regional reconciliation service, which will take place at Divine Infant Parish, where I will be at 7 o'clock. So obviously there won't be any 7 o'clock Mass at St. Margaret Mary. And there will be a number of priests, and we'll be able to celebrate the sacrament of reconciliation collectively in the sense of a reconciliation service with individual confessions following.